Blog Talk Radio.
And now it's time for Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holbert. Join Maggie every Wednesday, 11 a.m. Central, 12 noon Eastern, for an hour of positive reinforcement on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Maggie.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. This is Maggie Holbeck with Blog Talk Radio /GGM Radio, and you're on the Crystal Clear Coaching Show and are listening to. And what we cover here is wellness of body, mind, and spirit. And I just love doing this show, I have to say. You know, I get to meet so many wonderful people and gain so much insight and wisdom from all of their sharings. And today will be no different. I have a lovely lady who's joining me. Her name is Teresa Morrow. She's also known as the author's cheerleader. So she's a promotion manager for spiritual authors and speakers. She's also an author herself. She has two books that she's had published, and she will be sharing her latest book today with us. We're going to talk a little bit about that, which is Disowned, A Journey of Transformation from Abandonment to Healing. And I'm sure that's a topic that we can all relate to and we'll all get some benefit from. So, Teresa, are you with me?
Yes, I'm here.
Welcome to the show. It's so wonderful to have you here today. And Teresa is in Florida, where she says it's quite hot, and I'm here at home in the middle of Canada, where it's starting to warm up, so we're appreciative of that. So, Teresa, you know, we're going to talk about your book today, but I want to hear about your, you know, sort of your start to life, because I was, you know, thinking about it, and I wrote a blog post yesterday about the lilacs. And I'm going to bring this all into a landing here. But I just love the lilacs, and they're such a short season. And because it's so short and the scent is so wonderful with the lilacs, it reminds me to appreciate the moments in life and that life itself is such a miracle. And I can really relate to lilacs throughout my life, from when I was a child to now being an adult to even my mother's death. And this is what I blogged about. The lilacs were out at the time. But, you know, just that beauty of those sweet moments of life and how fleeting they can be. And you came from a very special, you were born under special circumstances, which is a miracle in itself. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. And first I want to say thank you for having me on your show.
Oh, yeah, my pleasure.
Yeah, I actually had quite the interesting start to my life. When I was born, actually, I actually was delivered by my dad in the back of a taxi cab on the way to the hospital, and I was a little over a pound when I was born.
Wow.
And for then, even now, I mean, that's pretty low in weight, but back then, you know, that was even more health risk. And they didn't think, when they got to the hospital, the doctors were telling my parents that they didn't think I was going to make it past the night, because I had been born at such a low weight, but I also had some complicated heart issues, too, that, well, I was a preemie. So with that, they really didn't think I was going to make it. And they had told my parents, like, look, just, you know, hope for the best, but, you know, we just don't know if she's going to make it. Well, lovely for me that here I am.
Yes, here you are, and impacting the world and sharing your gifts. That's awesome.
Yeah.
My daughter was a preemie also, but not
as
tiny as you. Yeah, so I know a little bit about the preemies, but, wow, that must have been really a struggle for your parents.
Yeah, it was, and shortly after that, my mother found out that she was sick. So, and I don't know how much she knew how sick she was, if she knew then that she was ill, because she passed away 6 years later of cancer.
Wow.
So that may have had some contributing factor. I hadn't heard the whole story about that, but yeah, so I was quite the miracle at the time as far as, because I weighed a little over a pound, but then I went under a pound. So they were really scared that I was, you know, not going to be able to make it. And, yeah, I really haven't had, you know, major medical issues throughout my life. So it is quite the miracle that I didn't have other issues throughout, you know, growing up and stuff, too.
You know, it reminds me of a saying I use a lot, where there's breath, there's hope. And you know, if there are anyone listening to the call that, you know, at some point does go through having a premature baby, I know it really throws you for a loop like it did to me, but to know that there's always hope. My uncle, actually, probably, I don't know, 75 years ago, was born at a pound also, and they kept him in a little cigar box because there was no hospital. He wasn't born in the hospital at the time, and they put him by the stove, and he survived too, which was a miracle story. So, anyway, let's get on to your book. We're glad to know that this miracle is with us and that you're sharing with the world. So tell us a little bit about your latest book.
Well, my latest book is Disowned, A Journey of Transformation from Abandonment to Healing. That's the title. And what I did with this book was I did talk about my journey of disownment. It's been about 10 years now. I had started dating a gentleman who was quite a bit older than me and also was from a different race than myself. I'm Caucasian. He's African-American. And when I told my parents at the time, my dad said at first, he said to me, you know, as long as you're happy, I'm fine with it. And I thought, oh, golly, you know, I dodged that bullet. I had not been raised to where that was ever an issue. And then the next day, my recollection is the next day, my dad is a bit different, that he had called me early that it was a Monday morning. He had called me sobbing into the phone, and I thought someone had died. And he said, I can't handle it. I just can't handle it. And I said, what can't you handle? What is going on? And he said, if you decide to date him, I can't handle it. You're no longer my daughter.
Wow.
And it's like my world stopped. I was almost frozen in time, and I thought, and it was kind of like, you know, you ever seen the movies where the timing kind of gets flashbacks?
Uh-huh.
It was kind of like I flashback through all the things that we had been through together, you know, being father-daughter. I mean, the fact that he was the one who basically delivered me and going through my mother's death, you know, at 6 years old, and the things that we had been through, just through, because I was 30 at the time, I was about 30 years old when this happened, and when he disowned me, and I thought, through all of this time, my whole growing up, I never thought he was, that was an issue for him.
Uh-huh.
And so going through that, I was very angry at him on the phone, and so I kind of ended that conversation. But the book goes through from that phone call to getting to a place of healing for myself.
Uh-huh.
And then luckily for me, and it doesn't always work out this way, but because I healed myself, eventually that relationship did heal itself.
Wow. So, yeah, and you know, this message is important because not only are people in life going through similar situations, mm-hmm. exactly as yours, with you know, discrimination
right.
that we have among races and our and family dynamics and all of those mm-hmm. things. But even, you know, when we talk about gay, you know,
right.
gay relationships, yeah. and there's so many different variables that we have put all this judgment on people. And
mm-hmm.
when we really know love is all there is, and if we could get to that place. So when you wrote the book, did it start off as for your healing? Was that the premise of the book for you to express, or how did it come about?
At first, when I was writing the book, and like I said, the book just came out. Well, this had happened to me 10 years ago. So it took me a while to actually get it out to the public. So at first, I was like, oh, I need to tell my story. And yes, I'm telling my story, but it's more about the message of healing a relationship and starting from healing yourself first.
Uh-huh.
That's the message I really wanted to convey with this book, because that's what I realized. That's what I realized through writing this book. My message was, you know what, if I can show people how I was able, through my experience of this, to come to a place where I healed myself, because my dad's healing was on him. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the things I realized, that my healing was on me. That was what I could, that I can control and I could handle, and that was something that I needed to deal with myself. Whether or not we, he and I, came together again, that was, that had to become secondary to my healing myself. And usually within a relationship, it doesn't matter for whatever reason that it's broken, and there's many variables, like you had talked about a few of them, there's many reasons why we get in fights and arguments with people and break relationships. It could be, you know, siblings. It could be best friends. And I'm not condoning things that happen to people. Even my dad and what he did to me, I still don't agree with how he handled that situation. I don't agree with. But I wanted people to be able to come to a place of healing for themselves.
Right. You know, I'm going to share something personal here, if you don't mind. I went through something similar. My mother's passed away, but I was in a relationship many years ago, and I remember talking to my man. It was similar. He was older, and she was just devastated. And I never forgot that. She flailed over on the bed and went, "Oh my God!" And at the time, for many years, I thought it was that, you know, I was inadequate and I failed her. But after many years, I realized that her reaction was her feeling that she wasn't serving me in the highest good, and she had allowed me to get into whatever she thought was. And when I realized that, I was able to let it go, because I realized it wasn't my stuff. And she had her own pain. And here I was thinking that she, you know, a whole different paradigm. And I share this story freely because I've used it in my life coaching. I think it's very, we tend to personalize things, and sometimes it's not even our story, it's their story. But you're right, these are relationships, and we have to somehow have healing and work through them, because let's face it, relationships aren't going anywhere, are they? They're in our lives all the time.
Right. And you had touched on something, you know, it sounded like, you know, your mom probably, in, just like with my dad, there was fear there. He feared what he didn't know. So he saw a man, older man, who was of a different race, and immediately thought, oh, that's bad. Oh, no. So you're making a bad decision. I'm going to judge it. I'm going to say it's bad. And if you do this, you know, that's my condition. That's it. But that was based on fear of something he didn't even know. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once he got to know my husband, my now husband, he adores him. You know, and I'm like, okay, why don't you do that? You know, at the beginning, hindsight 2020, I guess, but that's where a lot of times we don't, you know, recognize, like you say, that was your mom's stuff, that was my dad's stuff. And once he was able to recognize it, when he was ready, at the time he was ready, I could not correct that for him. And that's one of the things I talk about in the book, is I had to get to a place where I realized whatever he was feeling, whatever he was thinking, I could not change it for him. I couldn't change it for myself. It wasn't my place to do that. And I had to, as you said, let it go. I had to get to a place where I had to kind of push that away, because it wasn't even my stuff anymore. It wasn't my stuff at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, you, so obviously you're an advocate of writing and communicating, and, you know, you support spiritual authors, and you're an author yourself. How long have you been writing? Is this something you've sort of had a passion for all your life, or?
I actually started, my first big memory of writing was in middle school, when I was in a creative writing class, and the teacher had given us assignments and stuff, and then at one day the people from the yearbook came in and said, oh, we have this opportunity for people to put something into the yearbook, either a short story or a poem. And a little light bulb went off, and I said, oh, I think I might be able to do that. So I wrote this little poem, and I sent it in, and it got picked. So that was kind of my, oh, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, I like doing that. That was kind of, like I said, the light bulb that went off for me for writing and being creative. And throughout my high school, after that, I didn't write too much, but then a little bit in college and throughout my younger 20s and stuff, I wrote. And so it's been kind of filtered throughout. And then lately, in the last 5, 6 years, 7 years, it's really been a big mainstay for me. I really enjoy it. And now I'm getting more into my poetry again, too.
Wow. And I ask all of my guests, you know, sort of their story on, you know, becoming an author or writing, because so many people have these creativities and these passions, and sometimes they don't fulfill them or they don't tune in to listen to. I know myself, I share the story and it's kind of humorous, but I was to speak at a funeral. Someone asked me to read a poem, and they wrote the poem, but they didn't want to get up and read it. And I remember I was sitting and I couldn't wait to get up and share this poem. And that's, in that moment is when I knew that speaking and writing and sharing through communication was one of my gifts. Because that's kind of comical. Most people don't like to stand up and speak, never mind at a funeral. So when I was
right
there, hopping to get out of the seat,
right?
I thought, wow, this is a big clue here. Now, we're going to get back to the book, Teresa, but and for those who want to learn more about Teresa, her website is Teresa Morrow, that's TERESAMORROW.com. But the author's cheerleader, like, I just want to hear a little bit about what you do, because I think that's such a phenomenal thing, and I've never met anyone that does that. So can you tell me a little bit more about how you help authors and what you do? And
sure. I appreciate you asking. I have kind of two things that I do. One part of it is inspirational coaching for spiritual authors. And in that, I offer the coaching, and it's usually over the phone, because I have clients throughout the United States and other, you know, throughout the world, really. And I offer them inspiration to get their writing and get their book done, whether it be however they're writing, whether it be blogging or they're, you know, writing their book, their next book, or they're almost finished with the book, whatever may be holding them back, I get them on the right track to get their message out to the world. And that is amazing, because a lot of times with writers, as I'm a writer myself, I know how this feels, we get stuck. We get stuck with so many different things that are floating through our head, and so we might have a good day of writing and then, or a good week or a good month or whatever, and then for some reason we stop. And it's just having someone there. I like to be, like I titled myself, the author's cheerleader, because I get so psyched to be able to share the message of someone else's work with the world. So in my coaching, I am their cheerleader in that way. To keep them going. The other part of the work that I do is the online book promotion, where I offer services to spiritual authors to get them on shows like yours, internet radio shows, get them on different blogs to do guest blogging opportunities, into maybe newsletters or different magazines or e-zines, that type of stuff, to get, again, to cheer them on, to spread the message of their work and their book with the world.
You know, I just think that is so awesome. I never really realized what you did until I started preparing for the show today, because, you know, you and I have been emailing, and you've suggested a few guests for me, which have been awesome. Thank you. But I just think it's such a beautiful thing that with technology and the internet and people awakening to their creativity and expressing themselves as life itself and sharing their offerings, we're all helping each other now, and it's just such a beautiful place. I love it because I see it so much. Yeah, I connect with people all the time through LinkedIn or Facebook, and I'm meeting amazing people, and we're serving each other, and we're touching the world, and it's just absolutely fantastic. So I honor you for your role in that capacity, because you're obviously doing a fantastic job at that and helping a lot of people, and I'm cheering all those people on with you. So.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I really do love it. I like you, I have a radio show that I just started not too long ago, and it's moving to a new time and day, but I know what you're talking about when you meet those people and you get to talk to them and learn about their lives. And I'm connecting with some awesome people as well. And so you're right. It's like this inspirational collective that's happening, you know, this spiritual.
And with technology, like even this show, it's going to be recorded. People mm-hmm. can listen to it. They can benefit. You know, timing might not be right. There might be someone who isn't in a relationship that they're having difficulty with today, but you know, a year from now, we can refer them to this show and they can get some benefit, because that's the beauty of technology. And again, you can be where you are and I am where I am. And I think of technology like energy. You know, it's sort of like it's instant, it's omnipresent, it's everywhere, and it's a cool thing.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All right. So, you know, let's talk a little bit more about the book. And, you know, what are some of the takeaways you'd like your listeners or readers to get from the book, Disowned?
One of the biggest ones, and I touched upon this earlier, was that when you're having some type of disagreement, whether it be a little one or a big one that's really broken up a relationship, is to come back to a place of healing for yourself. It's so huge, I think. And within that, it's a lot of forgiveness. It's a lot of letting go. It's a lot of recognition for yourself with self-love. That's a big piece, was a big piece of it for me. I had to let go of anger. I had to let go of control of the situation, with things I couldn't control, like I said before, with my dad and the things that he had his mind made up at the time, that he felt the way he felt. I could not change that even if I wanted to. So I had to let go of that control, because and the anger, because the anger, all the anger was doing was consuming me with negativity, and it was spreading throughout other parts of my life. Well, it wasn't doing me any good. So, yes, we're human. Yes, we're going to get angry, but don't stay in that anger, because it only infects every other part of your life. So to recognize it and be able to let it go, I think, is a huge piece. Forgiveness as well. I mean, we've all made mistakes. We all do things that, you know, we weren't proud of, or that, you know, we made a bad decision. That's a big piece of it, too, because we all deserve forgiveness. And I don't know if you've heard this, Maggie, before, but I, you know, forgiveness a lot of times is more for the person yourself more than the person you're forgiving. There was a lot of mistakes that I had made in my past relationships. And so on the road to self-love, I had to forgive myself for the mistakes and the things that I did in my past relationships, so I could come to a place of self-love, which then in turn, once I came to that place, I was allowing myself to receive and give out love in a more pure form, recognizing it and being able to receive it more readily and freely.
You know, I want to touch on that, because you're just so impacting me on you know, going back to my story with my mother. That's what shifted for me. When I realized that here I was thinking I was this big loser and you know, disappointing people, and then I realized it wasn't me, it was her feeling, you know, that she was an inadequate mother and not protecting me or whatever it was, or that fear. But that's when it shifted for me to my own self-love. I realized I was okay, and I actually had compassion for her, because I realized that it was her hurting and feeling inadequate. So it's you know, when you hear that saying that we're mirrors of each other?
Right.
And I think that sometimes when we're talking about forgiveness, too, that happens. You know, this mirror type thing happening. But, you know, look at the gifts. I get excited here, because when I see experiences that lead people to places such as where you're at, you talked about letting go of control, letting go of anger, having forgiveness. What a gift to get to that place, because then you're free to live, aren't you?
Absolutely. I mean, once I was able to do that, my relationship with, you know, Eddie became better. My relationship with my daughter, I'm assuming, you know, was better. She was a toddler at the time, but I was a better parent for her because of it. I was a better girlfriend at the time because of it. I was even probably a better daughter, and I didn't realize it, and a better friend to other people because of it. A better coworker, probably, because I was in a better space. And what amazed me about that was, once I was able to forgive and then get to a place of self-love, another thing I want to touch upon is the fact that whether my dad and I ever came back together again was not a focus for me anymore, because I had come to a place where I healed myself. Now, I wanted that relationship again, but it wasn't it wasn't so pertinent. I didn't have to have that anymore. And it was almost like once I let that need go, it slowly came back. And I wasn't sure if it was ever going to come back. And that's one of the things that I recognized when I wrote this book, because I, you know, some people may say, well, gee whiz, you know, it's been 20 years and I'm still ticked off at my uncle or my neighbor or my brother or my sister or whatever, or my best friend. And that's what I wanted to share. I understand that maybe a relationship may not come back because I didn't know whether my dad was going to be okay with it ever. He could have stayed upset with that situation forever. So, but once I was able to let it go for myself, then I could live a freer life and not have to be so worried about, well, you know, oh my gosh, I'm damaged because my dad doesn't want to talk to me.
I always think of that saying, you know, what you're talking about, once you let it go, what you resist persists. As soon as you detach and let it go, and that's when the magic happens. You know, there's something that I keep wanting to say when you're talking, but I don't want to, like, over-talk you, of course, but in my mind. And when you talk about healing your relationship and healing yourself, and all your relationships became better, but really the biggest thing you healed, would you agree with me, was your relationship with yourself.
Oh, absolutely. And that's the key point of this book.
Perfect.
That is the key point of this book, is that's where the healing, it starts with us. It starts with ourselves. Like I said, once I was able to, like, become and be and heal myself with all of the forgiving of myself for the past relationships that I had, my relationship with Eddie became better because I didn't drag the baggage, the noise from all those past relationships with other men. I have been married twice before. And so I didn't burden my new relationship with all that old baggage from my old marriage. Oh my gosh, I've been divorced. Something's wrong with me. Oh my goodness, what happened? I let that go. I said, you know what? Okay, it takes two. I probably made mistakes in those relationships. I went through that. And that's what's hard sometimes for people, is we have to accept the mistakes that we've made, forgive ourselves, and again, let it go. Because if we hold on to that, in my book I reference a filing cabinet. If we hold on to all of those events, those moments, those arguments, those bitter things that have happened to us, we hold on to those. Each one of those is like a piece of paper. And then they get into a folder, manila folder. And then the folders get into a hanging folder. And soon enough, that filing cabinet gets bigger and bigger. And those things are heavy. And soon enough, we're walking around with this big, huge filing cabinet. We're so weighed down that we can't even barely walk. So we can't live our lives because we're so weighed down with all of this stuff that we carry and carry and carry. But if we're able to let it go when it no longer is a part of us anymore, forgive ourselves and clean out, purge out that filing cabinet, boy, it's a lot lighter. I can deal with this now.
That is a great tangible way to view it. One of the things I use with my coaching clients is, you know, to really, like, those papers in your filing cabinet, they're just someone's doctrine, someone's version of what happened. So they might not even be real anyway. But to really get across that our past doesn't exist, so it can't define us. And how what I do with my clients, Teresa, is we talk about a family event. For example, you know, we might say back, oh, do you remember Christmas back in 1987? And there, you know, for example, I have five siblings, but whatever your dynamic is, and everybody could have their version. They said, no, that's what happened. That's what so and so said. That's what Uncle you whoever did, and blah blah blah. And everybody has their version. You see these little arguments starting. But the real answer is every one of those versions is right because it's their perception. So if we can understand that, then we realize there really is no real answer. All of that doesn't even exist anymore. It's all just made up. So if you can just clear those file drawers out and move forward, what a freedom. So I love your analogy. Thank you for sharing that.
Hi, you're welcome.
So we're going to go up to a commercial break. So for our listeners today, we're on the air with Maggie Holbeck and Teresa Morrow. And if you would like to call in, we will take callers toward the end of the show. The call-in number is 347-237-5339. And we will see you back after the break.
Hello, everyone. Bea Delosier here with a rundown of GGM Radio's brand new schedule. Boy, have we got some wonderful new programs with great new hosts. A little something for everyone. On Mondays at 11 a.m. Central, it's Messages of Light with Amanda Dowell for an hour of psychic chat and inspirational guests. Mondays at 7 p.m. Central, it's time for Primarily Paranormal with psychic Tina Marie. Share an hour with Tina and Bob Weber of Gulf Coast Paranormal. On the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 8 p.m. Central, it's the Back to Brilliance Hour with Lynn Hoft and Vivian Hildebrand, an hour devoted to your spiritual growth. Wednesdays start at 11 a.m. Central with Maggie Holbeck and Crystal Clear Coaching, featuring motivational inspiration to get your life back on track. At 1 p.m. Central, join Claudia Cleary on Wednesdays with Namaste Nutrition for an hour of soothing chat all about good health, positivity, and spiritual balance. Thursdays, start your day at 9 a.m. Central with Nancy Murdoch and Mastering the Art of Joyfulness. Let Nancy and her special guests lift you out of that rut and get you back in your groove. At 8 p.m. Central, join Dr. Gregory Scott for the Light Giver Universal Healer Hour. Gregory offers spiritual education to further you along your path to enlightenment and empowerment. Fridays at 12 noon Central, it's Alive to Thrive with Brenda Fraser. Join Brenda for an hour of inspiration and motivation, featuring a lineup of today's most popular authors and guests. Friday night at 7 p.m. Central, enjoy an hour of psychic chat with spot-on reader Tasha Harris and the Angels Network. Saturdays begin at noon Central with Bea Delosier, yours truly, and the Metaphysical Edge for psychic chat and interesting guests ranging from UFO research, paranormal experiencers, and all things metaphysical. At 2 p.m. Central on Saturday, it's Audrey Quinn and My Beauty Angel, an hour created just for you with tips and tricks on how to be the best you can be with what God has given you. Sunday is a day of service here on Greater Good Ministries Radio, each week featuring a different interfaith minister bringing joy, upliftment, and unfoldment for body, mind, and spirit. First Sunday of the month is Conversations Beyond the Edge with Dr. Gregory Scott. The second Sunday of the month is the Empowerment Hour with Reverend Barbara B. Delosier. Third Sunday of the month is the Light Givers International Sunday Service and Worldwide Source a Nation Celebration. The fourth Sunday of the month is In His Presence with Evangelist Patricia Benneman. Hope you will join us live for all of our Greater Good Ministries radio programs. But if you can't be with us in person, you can hear any of our programs on demand in archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/ggmradio. And remember, all of our programs now stream live from our home site, www.ggmradio.com. Wishing everyone warmest blessings, always in love, light, and sound. Music provided by Orville.
You know that the ice cream scoop can make a child smile, and that by slowing us down, the traffic light can keep us going. You know that the lawnmower makes life easier, that the blood bank makes life possible. But did you know all these ideas came from the minds of African Americans? Support the United Negro College Fund, because a mind is a terrible thing to waste. Visit uncf.org or call 1-800-332-UNCF. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
We're open for business. The Greater Good Ministries Book and Gift Shop is now open for business, featuring metaphysical and uplifting books from your favorite authors, such as Doreen Virtue, Wayne Dyer, Michael Edward Owens. We've added handcrafted one-of-a-kind jewelry, pendants, earrings, and bracelets, and now have an exclusive selection of crystals, rocks, and stones for your metaphysical toolbox. Take a look at our hand-dug Arkansas crystals, imported Brazilian crystals, Tibetan crystals, and Reiki healing stones. All of our rocks, crystals, and stones have been Reiki infused, blessed, and cleared, ready for use. You can reserve your copy of Crystal Healing 2012 and Beyond, Reverend B's new book, A Comprehensive Guide of Rocks, Crystals, and Stones for the New Age. Visit ggmradio.com and click Bookshop in the menu bar. That's ggmradio.com. You're listening to Crystal Clear Coaching with Maggie Holbig on Greater Good Ministries Radio. And now, here's Maggie.
Hello, everyone. We're back after that break, and I'm happy to be here with my guest, Teresa Morrow. And just to let you know, we've had some great feedback on this radio call today. I had some comments during the break through Facebook, so I'm really happy that we're making a difference. So, Teresa, I thought I'd let you know that we're some people are really enjoying the show today. Are you with me?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. So we're talking today about Teresa Morrow, her new book, which is Disown: A Journey of Transformation from Abandonment to Healing. And, if you were on earlier, the first part of the show, she was talking about her having to heal herself and her relationship with her father after being disowned because of a relationship choice. And one of the things I want to commend you for, Teresa, is, and for all our listeners to listen for themselves in this arena, your soul, your essence, you had a desire, you wanted something in your life, whether it was a relationship or whatever, it could be anything for anyone, and you honored yourself. And I think that is really a powerful message. And I'm going to just read a little Facebook post I put up yesterday by Walt Whitman, and it says, "Re-examine all you have been told at church or school or in any book. Dismiss whatever insults your own soul." And I think that message ties right into what we're talking about today. We have longings, we have desires, and it's our lives and our expression of it. And sometimes in our lives, because we have these relationships, you know, we have to coexist and all of that type of thing. But really, that it is so important to listen to our hearts and to our hearts' wishes. Would you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, it's interesting because I've had people, you know, ask me, what made you decide in that moment on that phone call between this guy you just started dating? I mean, I knew him. We were friends for 2 years before this, but what made you just make that decision when your dad said, okay, well, you do this, I can't handle it, you're no longer my daughter. What made you, you know, decide that to pick Eddie over your family or your dad? And to me, it was, one, the principle of the matter, but I was also, like you say, honoring myself because I knew that he was a good person. And I knew it was the right thing to do.
You were picking you. So when you just said Eddie or your dad, you were actually picking for you.
Right, exactly.
Awesome.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So one of the comments here on Facebook is, Maggie Holbeck's guest has really worked on healing, and this is such a touching show today. Healing herself and honoring herself, that is powerful. So we definitely are getting that message across. That's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. So, Teresa, let's talk about, why do you think in today's society this book is relevant?
Well, because, as you know, we've been talking about, everybody has a type of relationship that probably isn't exactly where they want it to be. And we do run across those people who may not see things the same way that we do. And so I think it's important for us to, again, start with ourselves and whatever disagreement that we're having. And sometimes that's the hard part, too, because it wasn't like I snapped my fingers and everything was okay. It took me, it was a process, and that's why I go through in the book, almost at the stages of grieving, because I had to almost grieve that relationship and then build it up again. within myself and the one, like I said, with my dad. But that's kind of where it starts with. It starts with us, and that's, again, really the main focus of how I wanted to and what I wanted to share was there's going to be different relationships that you have, and not everybody is going to agree with what you're doing. But if you can start with yourself in any, for instance, there's people probably out there who are in a disagreement with probably a family member, maybe because of a different type of choice. I pick someone who's of a different race than my dad would have liked at the time. So that was the disagreement. He was also older, but whatever that may be, I think it's important for us to look within ourselves and how we can heal ourselves. And within that healing, it's not a fast process. I don't want to sit here. That was the other thing that I wanted to share with people is it took me about, I would say about 6 to 8 months to go through it. But I knew it was important because I thought I was so distraught and, like I said, so angry and so caught up in negative emotions with what had happened. How could this happen to me? How could he say this to me? What am I going to do? How can I have a good relationship now? That once I was able to come back to myself and say, okay, Teresa, start with you and see how you can see this from your perspective and go through those things that you can handle and that you can control. Let's start there. And so that's kind of where I went through. That's where I started from, and I went through that process. It's not an easy process, but it was so necessary and very healing for me. That's another point. Like, yes, you have to go through it. And a lot of times, unfortunately, I think that's where people stop because we get so much outside negative thoughts and things that people say to us that we don't want to necessarily do that to ourselves. But it's not saying negative things to yourself. It's just recognizing those places and spaces within ourselves that we may need to work on. And that's okay. It's just a process that you get to go through and say, okay, well, this happened to me. I was in this type of relationship, or this person isn't agreeing with me. But how can I work on myself? What are the places that I can work within myself to become more of who I want to be?
Right. You know, I often think of the bittersweet. Like, here you are, for example, this should be an exciting time. You're meeting a new potential partner, and that should be thrilling and that, you know, that beautiful experience. And then you've got slam, the exact opposite, where, you know, you've got the judgment and this shouldn't be happening. And so you really get torn. And, you know, I want to share this message for our listeners, because if you are that family member or you are that person in a relationship that, you know, and someone comes to you and shares something with you, I'm going to share a personal story because I think that this is helpful. I remember when I found out I was pregnant. I was 39 years old. My husband's older than I am, my partner, and I was terrified. I actually had an appointment to have a tubal ligation. This was sort of a decision I had made, and surprise, surprise, my daughter came in on the last airplane, I call it. But it's been a blessing, an absolute blessing. But what happened in that moment, when I was so filled with fear and I didn't know how my partner Don would react, and when he was accepting of it, it was just like an absolute shift for me. And I thought back to when people, you know, that people would go through pregnancies and, you know, they were disowned by their family. So here we are taking this most beautiful and miraculous and amazing experience, and we're twisting it and condemning it and making it. And I totally felt that energetic shift, and it was so powerful for me that I share that story in my humbleness. That if this something like this happens in your life, someone comes to you and talks to you about their relationship or that they're praying or whatever it is, it's what's happening. And what they need is love and empowerment and upliftment rather than the opposite. And I just felt the need to share that, Teresa. So I hope you don't mind that I shared that.
No, absolutely not. I think it's our experiences and our life stories and connecting with each other that is something that I praise and celebrate absolutely 100% because that's what helps other people grow and heal. Mm-hmm. So I honor you for sharing that.
Well, thank you. Thank you. So going back to, you know, let's talk a little bit. You have a lot of great quotes in your book. And one of them is an Oprah Winfrey quote, and I haven't heard this before, but where is it? I had it handy. I had it to start, so I wanted to ask you about this quote. And I love Oprah. I kind of miss her show that she doesn't have it on anymore. Do you remember the quote I'm talking?
Do you watch Super Soul Sunday?
No.
Oh, well, you have to check that out then, because that's
I
one
will.
Of her...
Yeah, I don't watch a lot of television. I'm in the summer. I'm going to my camp and back, and I'm all over the place. But all right, I can't find the quote, so that's okay. Let's talk about this one. You know, doubt, because doubt is such a thing that we all have in our lives. Doubt is an uncomfortable condition, but certainly is a ridiculous one. And that's Voltaire, who I'm not familiar with. So tell us a little bit about that quote and why it's in the book.
Well, doubt, I mean, we all have it. It comes, especially self-doubt, you know. And when I was talking about doubt there with this decision with my dad and that, you know, he was no longer in my life. And so I started doubting everything. You know, am I any good? You know, why do I even want a relationship? Am I a good mother? I mean, I started doubting every part of my life because the questions started coming and the self-doubt started getting bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And I had to quiet it by realizing that, again, recognizing where I can control things and where I couldn't. And again, coming back to that place where it starts with me, I had to realize that I could do certain things about what was going on. Some things I couldn't, but other things I could. So that really helped me with the self-doubt and all the questions that I was getting, because it really does come back to being true to who you are. You know,
yeah.
And just honoring that. And I had to say, okay, I'm in this relationship with this new person. My dad doesn't like it. And even some of my friends didn't like it. They were like, really? I mean, they had all these theories about why he was with me or why I was with him. And so I thought, wow, you know, and you get those little doubts in your mind or, oh, golly, maybe, you know, maybe they're right. Maybe he's right. Maybe she's right. Maybe, oh, gosh, what did I do? Oh, my gosh. And then I said, no. So I had to quiet those things. And one of the ways I do it was through prayer and meditation. In writing, journaling, I'm a big journaler, especially when I have a lot of contradictory things going on in my life or questions going on, is I will journal. But it's really coming back to the self and really realizing, asking those questions and receiving those answers in the quiet times. And I thought, no, I really love this man. He's been nothing but generous and loving and kind to me. Then that's where I'm going to go, and that's where I'm going to stay. And that's where I offer to the listeners is, yes, you're going to have those times when doubt just kind of creeps in, but you can quiet it when you can allow yourself to express in writing or even in conversation with somebody that, you know, you can confide in about the things that are the questions that are happening around that situation. And you'll get the answers if you listen. Sometimes we have so much noise, I think, that we don't allow ourselves to slow down enough to listen to the answers that are within us.
Exactly. And not listening to the answers or not listening to our desires, or we mm-hmm. get so clouded. So that's so important mm-hmm. to all answers are within. Now, Teresa, you... you know, we talked a little bit earlier about what you do by helping other authors and what a great thing that is. What are some things that, some advice for other writers if they are, you know, maybe sharing a story like yours and making a difference in the world? And how can you help them on their journey of getting their book done? What's some tips you could offer?
Well, one thing I would suggest, and this is actually something that someone offered to me, when I first started writing my first book, Life Lessons from the Heart, I thought it had to be perfect before I wrote it. I thought if I was going to write it, that every sentence had to be perfect from the first time it was on paper or I typed it out, whatever. And so I wouldn't hardly do anything. I would start, I'd stop, I would write two sentences, because I kept thinking, well, no, that's not right. It's not right yet, so I can't put it out there. And I was telling this to a colleague of mine, and she said, well, you just started. You just started writing. And I said, but I want, it's got to be perfect. And she said, but for why? Why does it have to be perfect right now? There is something called editing. She said, my advice to you is just start writing. And I know that sounds kind of cliche, but my point is this. Instead of thinking so intently on it having to be the way it's going to be at the end, just write what comes to you at first. Once I did that, once I just started just writing and I just sat there and wrote everything that I was thinking, boom, 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 just, and I must have written, I don't know, 5 pages the first day, and I just kept going. Now, it wasn't all in order of course, the way it was when it got published, but it started the process. I got it out. I got the movement and the flow going. A lot of times we're so much in our head, like I was thinking it had to be perfect as soon as I started writing it. Just start writing.
It's interesting because I was listening to your words and you were talking about when I stopped worrying intently about how it was going to, about the end, sort of beginning with the end in mind. And isn't that like your healing journey? When you let go of your father and started healing yourself and without worrying about the end result, which is wanting to repair that relationship, that's when it happened, just like the book.
Yep, that's exactly, Sometimes
cool.
We get so intense on it being that end result that we don't think about where we're at right now.
Right. And, you know, I've shared some personal stories today. You've obviously shared some. And I do so freely. And that's what I like about all of the new authors coming out, sharing freely. All of us are going through these things. There's all these things happening in our lives, and there's so many dynamics. There's nothing that we have to, you know, hide or be shameful of. We're all humans on this planet having these human experiences. And the more we can share and relate and connect, the more it helps everyone. Do you have any other writing projects in the works?
I do, actually. A couple of little things in process on the horizon. One is a collaborative poetry book that I'd like to have out probably sometime in the fall. So that's kind of percolating. Another one is a book on caregiving. One of the things that I've gone through in the last couple of years is my husband actually had some medical issues happening. He had a heart attack about 2 years ago, and through that process, I had to kind of be the caregiver, and I learned, again, so much, another life experience. And so there were things that I learned through that and continue to learn, actually, that I'm wanting to share with people that I think might help as well.
Well, all these gifts, eh? All these gifts. Now, you have a website we talked about, and do you have a blog?
It's part of my website. Yes,
okay.
It's on teresamorrow.com. Yes.
Okay, great. And where can they pick up your book or your books?
They can find both of them at Amazon.com. They're both
okay.
On Kindle. Disowned will soon be in paperback, probably in a couple of weeks. So, yes.
Wonderful. And we spoke. Now, I know you do the coaching, and you can do that anywhere worldwide because it's over the phone. I do that as well. Are there any
mm-hmm.
other services or things that you want our listeners to know that you offer?
The coaching and the online book promotion. I actually am having a local event coming up, actually a local workshop I'm doing, kind of based off of the book, Disowned. I'm doing it locally here at the Ottman Center in St. Petersburg, Florida, July 15th from 7 to 8:30.
Was that the 15th?
Yes, July 15th.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
Wonderful.
So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Great. Well, you know, it's been a great hour. We're coming close to our end here. We've got a few minutes left. So, you know, Teresa, is there anything that you'd like to share that, you know, maybe we didn't cover that you really wanted to hit home on before we wrap up the show for today?
The biggest thing that I want to leave everyone with is if you are having a rough relationship with somebody, the best thing that you can do for yourself is to really try to heal yourself, and that relationship will heal or not, you know, will heal or not heal and come back to where it was once, possibly. But if you start to heal from yourself, your world and your life will be much easier and much more fulfilled because you would have healed from within.
And, you know, you talked earlier a lot about, you know, letting go of the control, and I think that's what we need to do. That's actually the answer, is when we, because otherwise we're in resistance. We're trying to control, and we're in resistance, and we're fighting, and we're battling, and we're trying to, you know, make everything work. And when we let that go, and you can do that by going within, focusing on yourself, you know, doing things that bring you peace, meditating, walking in nature, you know, taking courses to help you through difficult times, or counselors. There's so many things you can do to work on self, but it helps to break that control role. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. That is a big piece of it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, that's wonderful. Anything else to add? We have a few minutes.
Just like I said, I mean, one of the biggest pieces of the book was to, again, relate the fact that, you know, that working relationship may not come together, but when you are able to find a place of love for yourself, it opens up such a new world for you, and it goes out and it spreads out to your other relationships. I would say that's one of the biggest ones, because once I was able to do that, it just made such a world of difference, because I was not so fixated on whether or not that relationship with my dad was going to be okay or not, because I was able to fill that negative space with love and peace and harmony and joy in all of the other places in my life.
And Anita Moorjani, in her book Dying to Be Me, talks about that as well. You know, the more self-love that we can have, that's our whole purpose. That's because then we are able, we have the capacity to love, and it does affect all our relationship and ripples out. So, yeah. All right, well, we'll wrap up the show. Teresa, thank you so much for being on with me today.
Oh, thank you, Maggie. I appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. And again, Teresa's website is teresamorrow.com. And if you want to learn more about me, I'm maggieholbick.com. That's maggieholbick.com. And if you want to check out my Lilac blog, it's post from yesterday, it's maggieholbick.wordpress.com. And you can follow me there. So it's been my pleasure today, and I wish everyone an amazing day, an amazing week, and amazing relationships, and the biggest one being with yourself. So we'll let you go, and we'll tune in next week. Thanks, everyone. Bye-bye.